welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
To see his glory. What a wonderful thing. Let's just bow our heads this morning as we prepare to get into God's word. Father, we just thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We thank you that you have a word for us. And God, we ask that you will just transform us this morning. By your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. For those who don't know me, I'm Pastor Eva Clark, and I wanted just to extend the welcome to you this morning. We're so glad to have you here in God's house, and we pray that you'll be blessed by the experience here today. We're just going to continue, actually, something we started last week, and I just wanted to For those of you who weren't here, or even if you were here, just to give a refresher. Last week we looked at the Spirit of God and what Jesus said about living water and the living water that's available to us. We looked last week in the book of John. Some of you may remember if you were here. And we looked at an encounter that Jesus had with a woman in Samaria. Some of you may know this story, but Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee, and he went through an area called Samaria, and he encountered a woman there at a well. He was tired, he was thirsty, and he asked her for something to drink. Now, what was interesting about that story, which we discovered last week, is that the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, and the Samaritans, they didn't associate with each other. They didn't like each other. They weren't colleagues. They were hostile towards one another. So when Jesus asked this woman for a drink, she basically responded, "Why are you asking me for something to drink? Don't you realize that you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman? What's up with that?" And Jesus essentially replied, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for water, you'd ask him and he give you living water." So she was curious, and she discovered that Jesus was talking about living water spiritually, that she could be transformed, that she wouldn't have to thirst any longer. And she told others in Samaria about Jesus, and they came to believe in him. And then later in that book of John, we see that Jesus is talking about the spiritual water, the living water, welling up to in us to eternal life. And we talked about what does it mean for water to well up, and just to get a picture of water welling up. Some of you may have, especially in the city on a hot summer day, seen people open a fire hydrant just to get cooled off and to see that water not just trickle out, not just drip out of that hydrant, but to gush forth just water, volumes of water, water under pressure, water that's refreshing the children who are playing and flowing down the streets, getting a picture of water just welling up. And in the same way, the Spirit of God is available to us who are believers to well up in us to eternal life. And that sense of water not only flowing within us, but overflowing to bless other people. I had an opportunity over the weekend to share with some people about dreams. How many of you have a dream? You have a vision. There's something that you would love to see accomplished. There's something you'd love to see changed. Anyone have a dream? I see lots of hands going up. We have dreams, and God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So the dreams that he gives us, dreams to see our own lives transformed. And not to stop there, but to see not only our own lives transformed, but the lives of people around us, the lives of communities around us. I have such a powerful vision and dream, I know many of you do as well, to see transformation, to see change, to see healing, to see growth, to see where places have been abandoned for suddenly there to be investment in people and people's lives transformed. God wants to do that through his people. He wants to do that in us and through us. Some of you have a passion for education, or you have a passion for healthcare, or you have a passion for community development, or you have a passion to see poverty end. You see, have a passion to see some change, and God has equipped you to be his instrument, but only if you are submitted to the Spirit of God and working in partnership with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're going to continue today just along this theme of walking by the Spirit. And I want you just to turn with me. We're going to look at a story this morning in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bible, you can feel free to turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus, but also it's right there on your sheet. So if you have the handout that was given to you, if you could look at that first passage in the book of Exodus, and it's chapter 18. So before we read that passage, just to give you a little bit of the context and the background for this story, so we're going to join in and see something that's happening with Moses. But before we read that, Moses had sent his wife, Zipporah, to her father, Moses' father-in-law. And now they're returning, the father-in-law, his wife, they're all returning to Moses. And let's see what happens there. Exodus chapter 18, and we're reading verses 12 through 27. And it reads, "Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?' Moses answered him, 'Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws.' Moses' father-in-law replied, 'What you are doing is not good. You and these people who have come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied.' Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. We're talking this morning about walking according to the Spirit of God. Now, we also see that walking according to the Spirit or keeping step with the Spirit, some of you may remember that there's fruit of the Spirit. There's evidence that we're walking according to the Spirit of God. The scripture says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit, and it's characterized by all those wonderful things. So we want to walk according to the Spirit. Now we see here with Moses, as Jethro is encountering him, he's got a huge task that he's taken on his own shoulders. Thousands of people in need of direction, thousands of people in need of advice, thousands of people in need of correction. They've got disputes going on. There's arguments, there's dissension. And they're all flooding Moses' feet and asking him to decide what's God's will. So he's there morning till night trying to determine what God's will is for them. Many of you perhaps have had the experience of dealing with people who have problems. Some of you may be the type of person that others come to when they've got an issue, they got a problem, they need some help, and you're the shoulder that they find to cry on. You're that wise voice that they seek out to give them assistance. And it can be exhausting emotionally and mentally to take on other people's problems day in and day out. And here you see Moses. Not only is he dealing with the difficult problems that people are bringing to him, but he's there morning till night dealing with these problems, physically and emotionally exhausting for Moses to take all of this on his own shoulders. You know, there are certain expectations that people have when they come. You know, in this case, we see that not only is Moses worn out by this, but the people are worn out as well. Because they've had to sit there and wait. They've had to stand there and be patient morning till night until Moses has time to get to them. Can you imagine the long line and people waiting to get up to Moses to explain, well, I had this problem, so-and-so did this to me, I don't think that was right, I don't think that was fair, Moses, what do you say? And they're waiting from morning till night to be heard by Moses. You know, sometimes we all have the experience of having a certain set of expectations and those expectations not being met, even though the folks who tried to meet them were very well-intentioned, very well-meaning, very hardworking, but they didn't quite satisfy what we were looking for. I know I've had that experience even in going to restaurants, and some of you may identify with this. You know, if you go to a sit-down restaurant, you know how much time it's supposed to take before they bring you the appetizer, how much time before you get your water glass filled, how much time before you expect to see some bread and butter on your table. And if that doesn't happen within the time frame that you thought it should, you get a little bit annoyed, and it might impact how much of a tip you give that waiter or that waitress if they haven't satisfied your expectations. How much more so, not just in a sit-down restaurant, but some of you, perhaps like me, have had the experience in going to what you thought was a fast food restaurant. You notice the word thought was a fast food restaurant, not a McDonald's, but something, a local, family-run, perhaps, restaurant that's supposed to be fast. You expect all the food to have been prepared. I remember one time, Pastor Rock and I went to this restaurant. He had just parked outside. Honey, just run in and get me a plate, please. So I run in there just to get a plate. Supposed to take 5 minutes, have my plate. The woman who took my order, now there was a line before I got up to the counter for her to take my order. She had to go through all these people. And by the time I got a little closer, I could see what was causing all of the delay. Not only was she taking orders, but once she took the order, then she had to run back into the kitchen. She was scooping food onto each of those individual plates. At one point, it seemed like they ran out of chicken. And I could see her because there was no kind of barrier between the counter and the kitchen and what was going on. So I could see her run out of chicken, and she had to go prepare more chicken. One woman, she's taking orders. Then someone calls on the phone. So she's got takeout orders. She's trying to handle takeout orders. This poor woman was running from the counter to back in the kitchen. She's preparing food. She's running here. She's running there. I was saying to myself, she doesn't need the gym. She is all set, just going to work every day because she's running from day up, sun up to sundown. She is running to do this job. Now, the food was delicious, I have to tell you. That was some of the best fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, greens, candied yams that I have had in a long time. But how often have I been back to that restaurant? Because it took so long for her to serve. And I know she was frustrated. I can see the sweat on her brow as she's running, doing every single job possible in the restaurant. And for the people who were waiting, they were frustrated as well. Because as well-intentioned as she was, as hard as she was working, as diligently as she was preparing, as wonderful as the food was, I didn't want to have to wait a half hour for one plate. So you see that my expectation was not met because she had taken on so much onto her own shoulders. Some of you can identify with that. You know, I had the experience on another occasion, and this was for me, I was working for a community-based organization, and we decided we were going to have a Christmas party for the community. We were very well-intentioned. We wrote grants, we got gifts, we spent hours and hours wrapping gifts, we had it all set, we had a certain population that we were intending to serve. The day came for our Christmas party, and somehow, I don't know who let the cat out of the bag, but somehow somebody told people in the community that we didn't intend to come to our party. Oh, they're giving out gifts down there. They're giving out Christmas gifts. You should go down there, get you some Christmas gifts. Better go now because you never know, they might run out of Christmas gifts. So people came flooding through the door. So you can imagine how we looked. We were anticipating maybe 50 people to come. We had the gifts all set up. We had a system all prepared. We were ready for that number. When 100 people show up, we weren't ready for that capacity crowd. We didn't do a good job of getting gifts to people in an expeditious fashion. Some folks came sneaking in the back. They took one gift. They snuck back around. They got in the line again to get another gift. It was just insane. So I said, okay, the people were getting aggravated because they expected to come in, get their gift, go. Some of them had this attitude of entitlement. Where is my gift? They weren't appreciative. But people were impatient. They had expectations and they weren't met. So as we consider, how do we walk according to the Spirit? How do we do God's will? How do we serve people and yet not do what Moses had been doing initially, which was to take on all of this responsibility onto his own shoulders? You know, one of the things that we need to ask ourselves as we attempt to live by the Spirit, we need to have the expectation, when we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruit. As we are just going through our day on a day-by-day basis, sometimes we don't experience, I don't know about you, but I'm raising my hand, sometimes I don't experience the peace. Sometimes I don't experience the joy. Sometimes, and you see some of the indicators of living according to the flesh, that sort of preceded in Galatians chapter 5, this discussion of the fruit of the Spirit. And we see some of those products of the sinful nature. We see jealousy. We see sexual immorality. We see things that are not pleasing to God. And one of the things I want to challenge you to do today is to not be satisfied if you find that impure thoughts, if you find that jealousy, if you find that hatred, if you find that discord, if you find that dissension, if you find that that's what's on your mind, if you find that you're unsettled in your spirit, you need to do some introspection. You need to take some time to go to God and say, Lord, what's going on with that? Don't allow yourself to stay in that space. It's not okay to stay there. You want to walk by the Spirit. You know, that's something that I do when I'm feeling unsettled or anxious. You know, even in sort of a work setting, for the past several years, with my work that I do, it's often complicated, or there's lots of different tasks that I have to juggle. So there are things that I'm trying to handle simultaneously. And if I find that I am feeling anxious or unsettled, it's time to figure out, and this is something that I try to do, why am I feeling unsettled? Why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling unhappy? Why am I feeling stressed? Because that's not God's will for me to walk around feeling stressed and anxious and distraught. It's not his will. He wants me to walk in joy and peace. So if I'm not, what's up? What's going on? And perhaps you can see yourself in some of what we see here with Moses. First, we see with Moses that he's taken on too much onto his own shoulders. And you know, there are a number of things that we can consider when we're feeling distressed and we're feeling distraught and we're feeling anxious. One, have I taken on too much onto my own shoulders? Is this a task that I really should delegate to somebody else? Or is this for me to do? You see, with Moses, and he listened to what his father-in-law had to say, he said, you need to appoint others to be judges in addition to you. There are folks who are sincere, folks who are honest, folks who are mature. They can be the captains. They can be the judges of thousands or hundreds or fifties or tens. You don't have to do it all by yourself. So sometimes when we are feeling distressed, when we're feeling distraught, when we don't have the peace and we don't have the joy, it's because we've taken on too much onto our own shoulders. And we need to go to God and ask him, what do we do? You know, the Lord promises to give wisdom to us if we ask. Some of you perhaps have sought God's wisdom in your life. You need God's wisdom to determine the correct course of action in every situation. So perhaps you're feeling distressed because you have taken on too much onto your own shoulders and you need to let something go. Perhaps you're ignoring a problem with the hope that it'll just somehow magically go away. Anyone been there? We all, I think, from time to time fall into that rut. If I just bury my head in the sand, you know, it's a picture we can perhaps recall of an ostrich with its head stuck in the sand. Ostriches don't actually do that. It's sort of a myth, but that's something that perhaps we can envision, an ostrich with its head stuck in the sand. And the idea is that it's like a child who tries to hide, and they figure that as long as they can't see you, that you can't see them. Ever had a child do that? They run, they hide, they can't see you, and they assume that because they can't see you, you can't see them. You're just somehow gone because they can't see you anymore. Well, our problems also just don't magically go away. We can't just bury our head in the sand and pretend that everything's going to be okay if I just ignore this. That's not walking according to biblical faith, to ignore a problem. That's not what biblical faith is all about. We need to confront our issues, confront our problems, and say, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? How do I walk by faith? Give me your wisdom. And expect that he's going to actually answer that prayer. You know, the scripture says that if any man lacks wisdom, he can ask God, and God will give wisdom generously to us. He's not meager when it comes to doling out wisdom to his people. He actually wants to give you wisdom generously. But you need to believe that you've received the wisdom that God has given you and to act according to it. And you know, that wisdom comes not only in the time that we spend with God, because God can do amazing things when we spend time in his word and spend time in prayer. God has a way of revealing things to us. Some of you may have had the experience of reading a passage in scripture, and suddenly there's a revelation that comes that the words have been there all along. You've read them time and time again, but suddenly when you read it this time, a revelation comes to you and you understand it in a way that you've never understood it before. You may have spent time in prayer, and if not, I urge you to do so. Spend time with God. Expect him to speak to you. Expect him to reveal himself to you. Expect him to give you direction. Expect him to give you answers to the questions that you have. He'll do that when you spend time in his word and in his presence, in prayer. But not just that. As we see here with Moses, he got advice from his father-in-law, Jethro, and he heeded the advice of his father-in-law. God has a way of speaking to us through other people. And we need to seek out the wisdom of people who are more experienced than we are, who've traveled down the road that we're planning to travel down, who have something to share with us, who want to help us, who can see things that we can't see. All of us from time to time have blinders. And the reason why they're blinders is because we can't see them. Sometimes we want to know what our blind spots are, but that's the whole point. You don't know what your blind spots because they're your blind spots. You can't see them. You don't understand. You think you're doing the right thing. In the case of Moses, he was trying to do the right thing. He was very well intentioned and was not lazy, working hard at what he was trying to accomplish, but he had a blind spot. He didn't see that he was taking on too much onto his own shoulders, but his father-in-law, from day one, the first time he saw Moses with all those people lined up to sun down, asking Moses for advice, he's like, "What are you doing, Moses?" You need people like that in your life who can say to you bluntly, "What are you doing? Does that make any kind of sense, what you just did? Please take my advice. Please listen to me. I'm trying to help you to do better because I care for you and I care for the people you're trying to serve. See, it'd be one thing if only Moses was being worn out by what he did. That'd be bad enough. Moses being worn out by all that he was doing. But not only Moses was worn out, the people were worn out because they had to wait day in and day out, sun up to sun down, for Moses to give them the answer. When instead God had a completely different system, God had a total paradigm shift in mind in terms of how that was supposed to be resolved. So there's a wisdom that comes from God, and there's a wisdom that comes from God through other people that we need in our lives. So we don't want to ignore problems, thinking it'll just go away. We don't want to deal with the pain that we feel in an unhealthy way. Talking about being unsettled, and what do? When we're unsettled in our spirit, when we're not experiencing the fruit of the spirit that God has for us. See, sometimes people try to deal with that pain in an unhealthy way. And I think we've all been guilty of this to some extent or another. If we're honest with ourselves, we've tried to deal with our pain in an unhealthy way. We've either tried to ignore it or we tried to self-medicate our way through it. Some of you have been there. You're trying to self-medicate your way through your pain. And that's where the fruit of the sinful nature comes in. The kinds of things that we see there, the jealousy, the fits of rage, people trying to self-medicate, the sexual immorality, people trying to self-medicate. But it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't work to try to handle problems in that way. So again, if we see ourselves, we find ourselves in the middle of the kind of actions that are described as actions of the sinful nature, we need to ask ourselves, what's going on with me that I'm in this situation? What is the pain that I haven't dealt with according to God's word? Where do I need help? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? Perhaps I've taken on too much on my own shoulders. Perhaps I haven't confronted what I need to confront for myself. You see, with Moses, some things he should have given to these other leaders, these captains of hundreds and fifties and tens, etc. But there were difficult issues that Moses was supposed to handle himself. So he had work to do. And something else that can create stress and anxiety and despair in our lives is when we haven't done something that we're supposed to do. How many of you have ever procrastinated? I got both my hands raised. Procrastinate, what does it mean? You're supposed to do something, you're not doing it. It's still sitting there in your inbox when it should have been handled long time ago. Especially the kind of thing that other tasks are dependent upon. Have you ever had that type of a situation? There's something you need to do. There's a lead time. So if you don't do that thing, if you haven't ordered something, for example, until you order this supply and the supply arrives, you can't do the task that you plan to do with that supply. So until the folders arrives, you can't stuff the folders and get yourself ready for the conference. So there are times when the anxiety that we feel is because we haven't done something we're supposed to do. Again, we need to examine ourselves. You know, the scripture says, "Search me, O Lord. See if there's any unclean thing within me." We need to ask God to search us. We need to strive to have a clear conscience at all times before God. So if you're unsettled in your life, if you're not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, you need to self-reflect. You need to ask God. You need to ask people who are more mature than you, help me to figure out what's going wrong in my life that I'm not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in this situation? Because perhaps you've taken on too much, perhaps you haven't delegated, perhaps you're ignoring, perhaps you're dealing with your pain in an unhealthy way. Perhaps there's something that you should have done a long time ago that you haven't done yet. And God is going to keep unsettling you and tapping on your shoulder and shaking you and helping you to pay attention to it until you do it. Amen. I know that I'm a, you know, some people like confrontation. You ever met people who just, they actually really love a good fight? They just can't wait. You know, as soon as some type of issue arises, they're the first one to open their mouth, have something to say about it. They want to set the record straight. They want to correct people. That is just their modus operandi. They want to fight. They want to confront. They want to wrestle with things. I'm not that kind of person. And maybe you are not that kind of person. You would rather avoid confrontation. You rather avoid conflict. You don't want anybody mad at you. You don't want anybody unhappy with you. You rather just go along and just keep things. Because, you know, that's not real peace. We are to be peacemakers, but it's not real peace to just cover over stuff. Because sooner or later, when you cover over stuff, it starts to seep out. And it can be really ugly and smelly when it starts to seep out. You've been trying to cover it over, but every now and then, ooh, you get a little whiff of the stench of that thing. It doesn't work. You have to confront issues. When you're feeling bad, see, God gives us some clues. It's so great to have a conscience. It's so wonderful to have a conscience. Can you imagine not having a conscience? And what that would look like if you just could do anything and never feel bad about it? What a horrible person you become. If you never cared about anybody else's feelings, if you never felt any type of pull towards repentance, ooh, that's a bad space to be in. Thank God we have consciences that can help us to get ourselves right. And I want to encourage you to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing and what the Holy Spirit is saying. So when you experience those times, it's like, Lord, what's happening with me? What haven't I dealt with? Have I done all that I'm supposed to do? Are there things that are on my plate that should come off of my plate? My husband just said to me, actually today, because I took on a task I wasn't supposed to take on. I know I'm guilty. I'm preaching to myself. And he said, you know, honey, because I had to get some supplies that really I wasn't supposed to get this morning. He said, you know, I think you just like getting supplies. I think you just like shopping for supplies. I think that's your problem. You just like getting the supplies. And see, I had to say, well, you're right. You're right. I was wrong. I'm not supposed to do that. Because it created stress. It took time that I didn't really have to spend. So we need to find these opportunities to correct ourselves. There may be patterns in your life, things that you're doing, patterns that have emerged. They're not healthy ones. You see yourself not taking care of yourself the way that you should. You see yourself anxious and stressed. You see yourself in fits of rage. You're angry. These are all cues to you. Hello? It's like the Holy Spirit knocking at the door. Hello? Are you home in there? I'm knocking. I'm trying to get your attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. Because the Holy Spirit is there living inside us when we're believers. So he plays that role in our lives to bring things to our remembrance, to challenge us, to encourage us. You know, I really want to see the people of God characterized this way. People who are walking in peace and joy, people who are confronting injustice and evil and dealing with it, people who aren't afraid to do that, people whose lives are balanced and at peace, people who are living according to the Spirit. We need to take this on ourselves. You know, there are often stereotypes. And sometimes stereotypes are just completely wrong. There's just no basis. But oftentimes a stereotype emerges because there's some little sliver of truth. No matter how small it is, there's some little sliver of truth in that stereotype. And some of you may think about, well, what would come to your mind if I were to say to you, what does a Christian look like? Is there an image that's emerging for you? What does a Christian look like? What does a Christian do? How does a Christian behave? Perhaps there's something that comes to your mind. Perhaps you can think of the way the media would portray a Christian. What does that person look like? What does that person do? What are their values? How do they behave? I know I'm often troubled with stereotypes that emerge about Christians, especially in the media. And of course, we know so much of it is just completely out the box. It's just, there's no basis in fact. But sometimes there's just a little sliver of reality that's reflected there. And it's often not flattering to us as believers. And we need to live these balanced lives together as God's people. Since we live by the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit. That means that we're keeping pace with the Spirit. We're sensitive to what the Spirit is doing. Ever walk with somebody and you're trying to get somewhere and they're just walking really slow? It's so annoying, isn't it? Like, come on, you know, you're walking, like, let's go. Let's get going here. I'm trying to get somewhere. Will you keep up? I remember this is years ago. I was in Chicago. Anyone who's ever driven on the streets of Chicago, you know, Boston traffic is one thing. Chicago, I think there's a challenge that Chicago has to Boston in terms of the way the traffic runs. But anyway, I was with my cousin, and he was leading this caravan of cars. He said, okay, Eva, you're going to follow me, so just follow me. I'm getting on the expressway now. Just follow me where I'm going. So I'm trying to follow him on the expressway, and I'm driving my usual speed. I usually drive just about the speed limit, maybe a little bit faster than the speed limit. That's how fast I go. And he was flying. He was gone. And at one point, I saw he had kind of pulled over to the side of the highway. It's like, did something happen? Does he have a flat tire? What's the issue? What's the problem? I pull in behind him. And he came out of his car. He said, Eva, you got to keep up, girl. If you want to follow me, you got to keep up, girl. You're going just too slow. I can't drive and take you someplace. You can't keep up with what I'm doing. You got to speed up. Come on. Keep up with me if you're going to go where I'm going. How true with the Spirit of God? We got to keep in step with the Spirit. Keep up with what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit is trying to speak to you day by day by day in every situation. What I talked about today in terms of being at work, the most mundane of issues are ones that we need to pay attention to. The most, what could be considered the most trivial of issues, we need to pay attention to because it's practice for us, for the big vision that God has given us. If I can't keep at peace about doing my work day by day at the office, how am I going to be at peace and stay focused on the bigger vision that God has in terms of transforming lives by His Spirit? For each of us, we need to be in tune with the Spirit at all times, in every situation. So I challenge you this week, go to Him. Ask yourself, am I experiencing the fruit? Ask yourself, am I dealing with my pain in an unhealthy way? Ask yourself, am I wearing myself out and other people around me? Are they getting worn out by the way that I'm doing this thing? No matter how well-intentioned I am I getting worn out? And so is everybody else getting worn out. Ask yourself, is something I need to confront? Why do I feel bad? Have I done something that I shouldn't do? Have I not done something that I should do? Am I procrastinating? And let's keep in step with the Spirit of God. Living by the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Praise God. Well, as we continue this morning, I'm going to ask you just to spend a moment to just reflect on what God has said to you this morning. We want to help you here at Life Church to be all that God wants you to be, to fulfill all that he has for you to do. We want you to experience the fruit of the Spirit, to be blessed in every aspect of your life. We use a tool here at Life Church to help us connect with you. And you have in your packet this morning a welcome card. If you have that welcome card, if you can just get it out, the welcome card this morning. We want to be in touch with you. We want to minister to you. We want to be praying for you. We care about you. So I'm going to ask you this morning just to fill out that welcome card so we can connect with you to get your contact information. If we don't have that already, to get your contact information, just fill out the welcome card. It just takes a couple of minutes. You can do that. Fill out that front part. But in addition, I want to ask everyone here just to consider if there's something that the Lord has said to you this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit is here. And the Holy Spirit acts to confront us, to encourage us, to transform us, to change us. And perhaps today, there's something that the Holy Spirit has said to you, and you want to let us know, you know, I've made a decision today to commit my life to Christ. I've made a decision to recommit my life to Christ. Perhaps you need prayer for something. We will pray for you. So please, you can take the time to just indicate your prayer request on the back of the card. We want to see living water welling up within you, living water that will bless your life and bless those who are around you. I'm going to help you in every way to do that. So just complete that card. The ushers are available to receive those from you. And in addition, we have boxes out on the welcome table in the lobby for your card. So if you have completed that, you can just give that to an usher or put it in the box after service. Praise God. This is Communion Sunday, so we're going to be gathering at the front of the church for communion in just a few minutes. Ask everyone to stand now. We're going to just have a word of prayer and just stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Just bow your head with me this morning, if you would. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you praise. For every person that's here, we thank you for your love for them. We thank you for the purposes that you have for them. Lord, you said that you'll give us hope in a future, Lord. So we thank you for what you have in store for each one that's here. God, I pray that each one will know you and know you fully and love you and serve you and follow you. And God, that you will just cause living water to well up within each one. Have your way, Lord. Help each person to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, you'll help us each to correct issues in our lives so that the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in all that we do. We just give your name praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we thank you for all that you have done and will do in every life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.